Want a hot investment tip? Okay, don't tell anyone, but you just need to answer two simple questions, and you're likely on the path to making money. Hi, I'm Rob West. Kidding about hot tips aside, it's true. The answers to two easy-peasy questions will set you on a course for investing success. I'll talk about it first with Mark Biller today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Mark Biller joins us again today. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, where he and his team take complicated investing concepts and simplify them so the rest of us can understand them. Mark, great to have you back with us.
Well, thank you.
Okay, we said that you just need to answer two questions, Mark, to be a successful investor. So what are the two questions we're talking about?
Well, Rob, no matter what investing strategy you follow, we have several of them here at SMI. Those two key questions are, how often should I invest and how much should I invest? And a simple way to make those decisions is to use a formula approach that eliminates any inconsistency and guesswork out of that process.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that's not just any old formula, but perhaps one in particular, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, the best known formula for answering these how much and how often questions is something that you guys talk about frequently here on the program. It's called dollar cost averaging. Now, the key to dollar cost averaging is simply you're going to make the same amount of an investment, and you're going to make those investments at regular time intervals. So that simple framework makes it really easy to follow, and it's basically what millions of people do every month in their 401k or other workplace retirement plans. So, for example, you might choose to invest $800 a month or $400 per pay period. The important thing is that you can pick an amount that you're able to stick with faithfully over time.
Yeah, and sticking with it faithfully means you have to do this, of course, for a long period of time, 5 years at the very least. That way you have time to ride out an extended bear market. Obviously, 40 years would be a lot better.
Yeah, 40 years would be fantastic. big picture, the beauty of this dollar cost averaging approach is it frees you from worrying about whether you're buying stocks at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because you're always investing the same amount, you're going to get more shares for your money when stock prices fall. You're going to buy fewer shares when prices rise. And so, in effect, you'll be buying more shares at these bargain prices and fewer at high prices. Of course, you won't really know that at the time. It's only when you look back in hindsight that you can really see when stocks were on sale or overpriced. But this will help lower your average cost over time.
Yeah. Now, since the market started down and sideways a couple of years ago, folks regularly call in, Mark, as you know, and ask if they should get out of the market, go to cash, or stop investing altogether. So what's your advice for those listeners, assuming they, in fact, have that long time horizon?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rob. You know, and for starters, I should say that SMI actually does increase our cash allocation at times when risk seems particularly high. That's built into our long-term process. So I don't want to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here.
Sure.
We wouldn't do that if we didn't think it was worthwhile over the long term. But here's the thing. If you're trying to do this on your own, you really shouldn't be moving in and out of the market. And that's doubly true if you're trying to do this on your own and you have a long time horizon of, say, 10 years or more. It's just way too hard to know when to move in and out, and the research is pretty clear that most individual investors who try to do that end up hurting their long-term returns. You know, there's a reason that there are millions of retirees and near retirees with large 401k balances, even though a lot of them might not necessarily know very much about investing. And that reason is because they invested regularly every pay period and let those 401k balances compound year after year through good markets and bad.
Yeah, that's really well said. So helpful as we think about this idea of dollar cost averaging. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about how it can help you avoid the emotional pitfalls. We'll talk about the cautions related to dollar cost averaging and why it may even cause you to like a bear market every now and then. Much more with Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Here in the West, we often forget the meaning behind some of the most famous phrases found in the Bible. It's how we get pastors saying to bear your cross, but talking about waiting in a long line or the grocery store, not having your favorite soda. That's not bearing the cross. The cross, even though it is a celebrated Christian sign, is a horror. It meant death. When Jesus said, "Anyone who doesn't take up his cross and follow me isn't worthy of me," he wasn't talking about a willingness to be inconvenienced. He was saying we need to die to ourselves. The old person is dead. The new has been raised with Christ. Die to self. Live to Christ. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your questions today specifically on investing. Do you have some money in the market? Maybe you have one of those 401ks Mark Biller was talking about, or you're struggling with how to approach the volatility that we've had in the market, especially if we are in fact headed for a recession, as many economists think. Well, we'd love to help you tackle your questions related to investments, investment strategy, whatever you're thinking about today. The number with lines open is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We're joined today by Mark Biller, my good friend and executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org. And Sound Mind Investing is an underwriter of this program and been a great partner of ours here at Faith and Finance for many, many years. And Mark, we've been talking today about dollar cost averaging, really a powerful idea and concept when it comes to investing over the long haul. One of the things that dollar cost averaging really helps with is one of the pitfalls of investing, and that is emotional investing. You know, when we're managing our own money, we have a tendency, especially when things get a little bit volatile and maybe we have some uncertainty and fear out there, the natural tendency is to make a move, and usually it's the wrong move. How does dollar cost averaging help us overcome that?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, Rob. You know, without a mechanical system like dollar cost averaging, what tends to happen is most investors only work up the courage to invest after they've seen stock prices rise sharply. And then on the other side of the ledger, when prices fall, investors become fearful, and then they sell after their holdings are already way down. So in other words, what normally happens because of investor emotions is they're buying high after moves up, and then they're selling low after stocks fall. That's exactly the opposite of what you're really trying to do. And the way dollar cost averaging works, it just steers you right around those two big pitfalls. As long as you're sticking with this process of investing the same amount at these regular intervals, and you keep following that discipline regardless of what the market's doing at the time, then you're going to just go right around those emotional rapids. You don't even have to think about those things.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I think one of the keys to why this is such a powerful idea when it comes to our long-term investing. All right, Mark is here today to take some of your calls today. We'll continue to talk about dollar cost averaging, including some of the criticisms and cautions around dollar cost averaging in just a moment. But we do have some lines open today for your investing-related questions. Mark would love to tackle those with you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Jim. How can we help you, sir?
Oh, that was quick, I'll try to make my questions as quick as possible.
Sure.
All right. I have a 401k. It has about $210,000 in it, or actually IRA. And, you know, the president talks about how we're all going to go to a digital currency. He signed an executive order about it. So I guess I'm asking, should I put it all in silver? Or should I just stay in stocks right now? Because they're doing great. The four stocks I have are doing great. I've made literally $40,000 increase in the last four months.
Yeah. Well, let me get Mark to weigh in on the silver, but let me just make a quick observation here. I understand your concerns about a central bank digital currency. I share some concerns about a CBDC, but we do need to be clear, though, that the president doesn't have the authority to establish a central bank digital currency on his own. That's not the role of the executive branch. It would take congressional action, and Congress has been very clear about at least a good portion of Congress has been very clear about their concerns related to this, privacy being the most significant. Not only that, but social controls. If the Federal Reserve were to have a hand in every transaction and the digital dollar would flow through the Fed. So we're still a long way off. Basically, what the president did was ask for research to be done. So at this stage, we have nothing more than a series of white papers from several departments of the government all weighing in on this. A lot of them saying that this would be valuable, keep us competitive, but it's not without its critics. So we're still a long way off from that. We have to wait to see whether that would ever come to pass. And several states are getting ahead of it. You know, Florida came out and said a CBDC violates their Uniform Commercial Code, so you wouldn't be able to use it there. So anyway, this is not a foregone conclusion by any stretch. But despite that, Mark, give us your thoughts just on investing in silver and precious metals, given some of the uncertainties we have around us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just echo to your point, Rob, that in my experience, generally when people start focusing on one specific factor, like what the dollar is likely to do or something like that, that can tend to lead them in a path that's counterproductive, because in investing, unfortunately, it rarely is ever just one thing. You know, there's so many variables, and especially in terms of currencies and things like that, the moves tend to be slow and happen over long periods of time. So, you know, that would just be my caution on that. But directly to the point of silver and precious metals, I like them. We've owned quite a bit higher allocations than in the past over the last year and a half. I think long term, there are a lot of things that are setting up well for precious metals, not the least of which is if we do end up in a recession over the next few quarters, 6 to 12 months, it's entirely likely, based on everything we've seen from the last 15 years, that the government and the Fed will probably try to stimulate our way out of that. Those measures typically have benefited precious metals because they tend to debase the purchasing power of our dollars and so forth. So longer term, I think the setup is still pretty good for precious metals, but I would throw out one fairly big caution, and that is that when you look back at what happened in 2008, look back at what happened in 2020, when the market experiences periods of like minor panic about markets falling, typically there's a tendency for investors to sell what they can rather than what they want to. And usually right in that mix are the most liquid investments, which include things like gold and silver. So it's very likely that if we have some kind of a sell-off event, that is kind of the very thing that makes people excited about investing in gold and silver, those things can get hit fairly hard, fairly quickly at the front end of that process. And then only after that happens do we tend to get the policies and announcements from the government and the Fed that make metals rally. So all of that to say, Jim, I wouldn't go nuts here in adding a whole lot of precious metals. I think that having some is probably a good idea. We usually typically say, for people who aren't following our direct allocation strategies, that, you know, maybe 5%, maybe up to 10% of a portfolio is good. But what you may want to do is not load the boat right here, but kind of have an eye out, maybe have some now, with an eye to adding more if you see some kind of a big sell-off like that in a fearful market moment.
That's really helpful. Jim, we appreciate your call today. By the way, delighted to hear you're in retirement. No debt, no mortgage. You've really positioned yourself well, and I think Mark's giving you some great counsel today. Thanks for being on the program, my friend. Call back anytime. 800-525-7000. Your investing-related questions with Mark Bill are just around the corner. Barbara, stay right there. You're up next. We'll be right back.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for? We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Joining me today, Mark Biller, Executive Editor at Sound Mind Investing. We're talking investing and specifically dollar cost averaging, but also taking your investing related questions at 800-525-7000. If you'd like to ask a question today, Mark would love to tackle it specifically on investing. Again, 800-525-7000. By the way, if you'd like to read more about dollar cost averaging and taking the guesswork out of when and how much to invest, that's the name of the title of the article we're discussing today at soundmindinvesting.org. Again, you can access that at soundmindinvesting.org. It's called Taking the Guesswork Out of When and How Much to Invest. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-525-7000. Barbara's in Arkansas. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. God bless you for your mission, and thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you.
As I mentioned to Jim, I forget who I was talking with. But anyway, I have an annuity coming due the end of the year, and it should be in the amount of $60,000. And I really don't know what to do with it, what to invest it in. I don't have a lot of money, and I think I gave him the data, what I get from Social Security and other accounts that I have.
Sure. So let's just do a quick rundown of what you've got, Barbara. You said you have an annuity coming due of $60,000. What is your age?
91.
Okay. And what other assets do you have? Do you have any liquid savings?
I have a money market account that has, I just looked at it, but it's about $46,000 in there.
Okay.
And that happens to be doing very well right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know.
Sure. And then what else? Do you have any other retirement accounts?
Well, I have an IRA that has about $34,000 left in it.
Very good. And are you living on Social Security alone?
1850.
Okay, and does that cover your bills every month?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so you're not pulling anything out of any of these accounts?
Not really, not right now. I'm debt free.
Great.
I own my little townhouse.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you're positioned really well, Barbara, and doing a great job. Mark, what thoughts would you have specifically related for this to this annuity?
Yeah, well, Barbara, one of the principles that we often say at SMI that is sometimes hard for our members to accept is that you really don't want to take more risk than you need to. You know, investing is not about trying to accumulate the biggest pile, the biggest sum of money that you can. It's about meeting your financial goals. And so as I'm listening to you and Rob discuss this, you're debt-free, Social Security's covering your expenses. In retirement, especially in that situation, you don't want to take on risks that you don't need to take. And so with, one of the beautiful things, there are a lot of a lot of issues that the rising interest rates of the last year have caused for people, higher mortgage rates, higher car loan rates, higher credit card rates, all these things. But the flip side of that coin is that for people like yourself, these higher interest rates are a blessing. I mean, we're able for the first time in 15 years to get decent rates of return without taking on stock market risk, a lot of credit risk, anything like that. So I would be inclined to look first. You said you had a money market account. I would make sure that the rate that you're getting on that is competitive with what you can get in treasury bonds right now. But if it is, you know, the money market account may not be a terrible option for this money. You might be able to lock in a little bit higher rate buying treasury bonds. You can do that directly with the treasury online. But I would tend to stick with pretty safe options like that, given that interest rates are going to give you a pretty decent rate of return right now. Rob, what are your thoughts?
I completely agree. I mean, the only other option would be put it in a CD and maybe get another point or a point and a half, you know, moving from 4.5 to 5.5+. But Barbara, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, your thoughts go right along with mine. I thought that the least risky thing to do would be to put it into my money market account or a or buy CDs with a bank that you know is pretty trustworthy here, saying it's, am I allowed to say it's, you know, it's connected somehow.
Sure.
With Walmart. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Well, it sounds like we're all on the same page then, Barbara. But listen, you're doing a great job with all of today. And if we can help you further with any, all the best to you, ma'am. 800-525.
Okay,
yes, ma'am. 525-7000 is the number to call if you have a question. Mark, I know you have some cautions, or at least there are some cautions folks put out there. We've got just a minute to our next break. Maybe you can mention a few of those related to dollar cost averaging.
Yeah, so the biggest one, Rob, is just simply that dollar cost averaging doesn't protect you against market losses. So when you go through bear markets, you are going to have those temporary setbacks. And so that's probably the main criticism of dollar cost averaging. There are others that relate, if a person has a lump sum of money to invest, it may not always turn out the best math-wise to dollar cost average that instead of investing it right away. But
okay,
That's a much smaller set of people. Most people don't have a giant amount of money that they're trying to figure out how to invest right now. So those are a couple of the big criticisms, Rob.
Yeah, that's helpful. When we come back, I want to get your take on how somebody can deploy a larger sum of money, whether they should do it all at once or whether the data says maybe they should spread it out over 6 months. We'll tackle that. Plus, why you don't need to be afraid of bear markets when you're dollar cost averaging. That can be helpful. Plus, more of your questions. We've got some great ones coming up for Mark Biller at 800-525-7000. Much more to come on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we don't have to engage in psychological brainwashing techniques and all this nonsense that the left traffics in because they're godless. For the most part, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's how we fight.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Joining me today, my good friend Mark Biller, executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org. By the way, you can find the article related to the topic we've been discussing today, dollar cost averaging, at that website, soundmindinvesting.org. Just look for Taking the Guesswork Out of When and How Much to Invest. Before we head back to the phones, Mark, specifically related to deploying a lump sum, would you do that just based on historical data all at once, assuming you have the right time horizon, or would you spread that out over a period of, let's say, 6 months as you work that into the market?
Yeah, so there are two ways to think about this, Rob. One is the math financial way, and the research is fairly clear that because the stock market spends a lot more time advancing than it does declining, that your odds improve of getting the best financial return by putting that money to work right away as soon as you can. So that's kind of what the math says. It's good to know that. But what our experience has been doing this with investors for over three decades, and I imagine yours is probably similar, is that's really hard for people to do emotionally. And so that's where dollar cost averaging can be such a helpful tool when someone has a lump sum, because emotionally it's just a lot easier to make a plan to say, take that lump sum and divide it up into six pieces and invest 1/6 of that each month over a 6 month period. Emotionally, that's just a whole lot easier for people to actually pull the trigger and get moving. Now the math says don't do that. Put it all in right away. But the emotional side of that is much easier for people to stick to that type of a process. And so, you know, my big thing, which is more of a pragmatic, practical way of looking at it, is the worst case scenario is that I talk to somebody about this and they don't do anything. They get paralyzed by the fear of getting moving. And so if the concession of dollar cost averaging that in over time is enough to actually get them out of the starting blocks and actually get over that inertia and get the process started, then I'm willing to pay that small marginal average cost of spreading that out rather than putting that all in right away.
Yeah, that makes sense. Really helpful, Mark. All right, 800-525-7000 if you have questions for Mark today. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Kenneth. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm just so a home in South Carolina, and I'm just I don't know anything about the stock market or anything like that, and I don't have any debt. I own a home already in Louisiana, and I'm still working. I'm 60 years old, so I'm kind of listening to the show and getting some ideas what I need to do.
Very good. Mark, any questions for Kenneth or thoughts?
Yeah, Kenneth, do you have a workplace retirement, a 401k or anything that you're eligible to contribute to?
Yeah, yes, I just started doing that. I just started doing that. I was kind of down on my luck for a while, and I just got a good job, and now I'm contributing to that. I just started maybe 2 years ago.
Okay, well, that's great. That's usually the first place. Yeah, sorry about that. That's usually the first place that we would suggest people look, because a lot of times you get matching contributions that can really accelerate your saving there. I would focus there in part because that's also going to help narrow the field down in terms of the investment choices, which, you know, eventually as you learn more about investing, you might want to expand those choices. But initially, it can be a little bit overwhelming when you've got the whole buffet table of options there in front of you. So I would focus on that 401k and trying to get as much invested in through that plan as you can. Do you feel like you have a good idea of how much should be going into stocks versus bonds, that kind of thing?
I'm sorry, I don't know anything about that. You know, I don't know. I almost need to get with an advisor or something like that. It's just I'm a late starter on this,
right.
And so that's kind of what I'm calling out. I do know what you say. Just said earlier, best to just jump in and go.
Uh huh. Yeah, I think a small allocation to gold and precious metals can be a good idea. I probably wouldn't load up more than maybe 5% of the total amount in that, but I do like the idea of finding an advisor that can help guide you through this. I would also like to send you a copy of our SMI handbook that really goes step by step through the basics of what are stocks, what are bonds, what are mutual funds, what is an appropriate mix and blend of stocks and bonds for a person of a particular age. It'll walk through the basics of investing in a 401k as well as an IRA and an individual retirement account, and how sometimes a person can even do both of those at the same time, which may be a good idea for someone like yourself who has a bit of money in a lump sum that you're trying to get deployed in the most tax-efficient way possible. Rob, maybe
we'd be happy to do that. So
yeah.
You stay on the line, Kenneth, and Adam will get your information. We'll get you a copy of the Sound Mind Investing Handbook out to you right away. That's our gift to you. So that'll come to you by mail. If you want to find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, Kenneth, and you're comfortable on the web, just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com and click find a CKA. And then finally, soundmindinvesting.org would be a great resource for you as well. Listen, there's a lot you can learn here, and we want to help. So I think these things will get you pointed in the right direction. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling. Quickly to Texas. Hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an IRA that I don't really feel like is doing great, but I don't really know a whole lot about all of this. So I will have some medical bills coming up. So I'm wondering, could I take that money out? How much it would cost me, or do I just need to transfer it over to someplace else that maybe it would do better?
Yeah, Donna, is this money that you need in the near future for living expenses? I know you mentioned the medical bills. If you wanted to let this ride out, whether it was in the current investments or by repositioning it to new investments, do you have the ability to cover those medical bills from another source?
Not really.
Okay.
I can, you know, I can try to pay it off $100 at a time, but that might take me quite a while.
Yeah. Are they willing to work with you on a payment plan like that?
They will. You know, I'm going to have to wait and see, you know, how much the total is going to be and, you know, how low they'll let me go.
Yeah. And how much is in this IRA right now?
Just about $10,000, $10,400, somewhere around there.
Right. You know, let's do this. We've got to take a quick break. If you'll stay on the line, we'll come back and give you our thoughts on kind of where you go from here on this. We'd love to tackle this and help you think through whether to use this money or maybe get on a payment plan and let it ride. We'll be right back in our final segment with Mark Biller. Stay with us.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
I love this country. But can I tell you something? I love the Lord more than I love this country, and I love the body of Christ more than I love this country. So it is because I love you, frankly, I have to tell the truth. There are many that are more concerned with the consequences in our nation than we are about the cause.
The Hamilton Quarter. Weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've been tackling your investing-related questions today with Mark Biller, executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org. Just before the break, we were talking to Donna. She's got about $10,000 in an IRA. She hasn't been happy with how it's been performing. She also has some upcoming medical bills that she doesn't have the funds readily available for. She could get on a payment plan, and she's wondering if she should pull this money out or let it to go where it is, or perhaps even reposition it to other investments. Mark, how would you help her think through this decision?
Yeah, I think the main thing, Donna, is if you need this money to pay for these medical expenses, then it's less of an issue of, you know, do I want to move it? Do I want it to be in different investments? And it's more of a, I need it to pay these bills. Now, Donna, I hate to ever ask a lady her age, but how old are you? Because that matters from a tax standpoint here.
I don't mind. I'm 63.
Okay. So the big cutoff number for IRA withdrawals is 59 and a half. If you're younger than 59 and a half, you typically have to pay a penalty in addition to any taxes if those apply. But once you're over 59 and a half, thankfully, you don't have to pay that penalty. So that's one vote, you know, at least in favor of being able to use that money for those medical bills. At least you're not going to have to pay that extra penalty. For folks younger than that that may be listening, there are some hardship withdrawal clauses with IRAs, so that's something to look into if someone else is in a similar situation. But, you know, I think that, Donna, if it's a case of you don't have money to pay these bills somewhere else, then taking that money out of the IRA sounds like that's probably what we're going to need to do. Rob, do you have any other thoughts on that process?
No, I think that's exactly right. So that at least gives you some thoughts on that, Donna, as you consider where you go from here. We appreciate you checking in with us. God bless you. Let us know if we can help you further along the way. To Houston, Texas. Hi, Peter. Go right ahead. Peter, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
All right. Go right ahead. You're on with Mark Biller and Rob West.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Doing great.
My call.
Sure.
And I like to just say one thing. I'm an older guy. I'm 85, and I don't sound it, but I'm ex-radio. But here's the thing I'm calling about. You know, people are all worried about this. You have all this new talk about new currency, and they're going to change the dollar, et cetera, et cetera. And on top of all that, why would you want to put your money into a CD, guys, when you they depend on their feds anyway? This is the most secure thing. If anything's going to change, would be a treasury. CDs are totally dependent. So a treasury is something that I think you can put your money on. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Mark, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that generally when people are concerned about the dollar and so forth, they tend to think that things are likely to happen quickly, and that just typically is not the case. You know, usually these changes take a lot of time. You know, some folks are concerned about treasuries just because the government is running such big deficits and borrowing so much. They're concerned that that may eventually push rates higher and the value of current treasuries lower as a result. But, you know, I think that both of those are good options. I think that CDs tend to be short-term enough that typically they're going to fall into the window that I am not real concerned about these bigger picture, you know, changes in the value of the dollar and so forth impacting over those short time periods. But I wouldn't caution somebody away from a treasury at all, because I think that's a good option as well. That is the least credit risky option as far as lending money out in the form of a bond. So I think that's a decent option too. So I think both of those can work. CDs maybe for a little bit shorter term outlook, and treasuries maybe if you're wanting a little bit longer term to lock in today's higher rates over a longer period of time. I think both have a place. Rob, yeah. Your thoughts?
I would completely agree. I think the duration is really the key, both backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. A lot of folks just aren't as familiar with treasuries and how to get in and out of them, and that's where a CD, just because they're so retail friendly, are so, you know, they're used so often. But I think if you've got an understanding of treasuries, then depending on the duration, that would be, you know, the opportunity to use one or the other. Peter, thanks for being on the program today, sir. Mark, as we try to begin to start to tie a bow on this, give us the reasons you like dollar cost averaging. Maybe you can sum it up for us.
Yeah, so there are several good reasons to like it, Rob. One, again, it eliminates that is this a good time to buy question. If you're dollar cost averaging every month or every pay period, it's a good time to invest. Second, it's imposing a discipline, a forced saving structure, if you will, if you want to think of it that way, that you're making installment payments on your future financial security. Third, we mentioned that dollar cost averaging is going to help you buy more shares when prices are low, fewer when prices are high, so your average price over time is likely to be lower than with a lot of other ways of buying stock. And last, and I think this one's really important, it automates your investing, which really helps eliminate a lot of the other errors that people make. It gets you around those emotional pitfalls. Dollar cost averaging is tailor-made for the main way that most people invest, which is workplace plans like 401ks, 403bs, as well as IRAs. And in all three of those cases, you can automate your contributions, and that is such a big advantage for someone. If they can automate this whole process and just let it run over time, that is a great way to to build wealth and future financial security. You know, I think the bow, Rob, is Proverbs 21:5. This is a great example of steady plotting brings prosperity. So this is a good tool that anybody can use and put in their investing toolkit and start using it today.
Yeah, that was really helpful, Mark, and I couldn't agree more. This is the way most investors do and really should invest as they think about how to move into the market in a systematic way. Mark, before we wrap up today, let's just pivot quickly to the markets and the economy. Obviously, the market hit a 2023 high yesterday on the Dow Jones, at least. We're seeing a lot of upward momentum, I guess in large part due to a pretty successful earnings season, the resiliency of the economy, and then most recently, the positive data on inflation. What do you make of what you're seeing right now and the prospects still of a recession this year?
Yeah, you know, I think that 1-2 punch of the economy not crumbling quickly like a lot of people thought it would in the first half of the year, as well as, like you said, inflation coming down, has people feeling pretty good right now. I do think there's still some risks. You know, high interest rates don't affect everybody right away, but every day that rates stay high, that's one more person who's getting a mortgage at a higher rate or needing to finance a vehicle at a higher rate. So these tend to have a cumulative effect, kind of a lagged effect. So I do still have some concerns about a recession showing up towards the end of this year, maybe even into next year now. So that keeps getting pushed back, which is why the markets are feeling pretty good today. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm expecting something horrible in the future, but I don't know that we're necessarily completely out of the woods yet, the way the stock market is tending to kind of portray, like the worst is over. That was last year. Now it's, you know, clear sailing ahead. I'm not quite there yet, but admittedly, when market price doesn't confirm a narrative, this kind of scary narrative of recession and so on and so forth, you know, our experience is you usually do pretty well to go with the market price over the narrative. So that's the direction we're leaning right now, but with a wary eye on where we may be, you know, 3, 6, 9 months from now.
Yeah. Is it really just still all a matter of what the Fed's going to do between, you know, now and the end of the year that's really going to move this market, do you think?
See, I actually don't think it is, because I think the Fed could stop after a July hike this month, and that policy that they've done over the last 15 months of raising rates to this point will continue to have a cumulative drag effect. Think about this, Rob. If you've got a ceiling fan and you stick your fingers in there, it's going to start slowing that fan, but the fan isn't going to stop right away. But the longer you keep your fingers in that fan, the slower and slower it's going to go. And these high interest rates are like fingers in the fan of the national economy. So it is slowing. We haven't actually gone into a recession, but we see that growth rate slowing. So that's the thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Although I do feel like maybe we ought to give a don't try this at home disclaimer on that analogy.
Exactly right.
That's really good, though. Mark, so appreciate you, my friend. We have covered a lot of ground today, and you've, as always, shared some really helpful insights with us. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, Rob. It's always my pleasure.
All right. God bless you, my friend. That's Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. Hey, check out the article called Taking the Guesswork Out of When and How Much to Invest. It's the topic we've been discussing today, and it's at soundmindinvesting.org. You can go get it right now. If you'd like to check out Sound Mind Investing, that's a great website to do it as well. Well, folks, we're so appreciative of your calls today, you listening. We always love encouraging you, bringing you practical advice, but rooted in Scripture, understanding that God's Word is the source. The best that Wall Street has to offer finds its roots in biblical wisdom. So let's live with a biblical worldview in every area of our lives. Let me say thanks to my team today, Robert Sutherland, Adam Suddeth, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without those gentlemen. Thank you for being here as well. Have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. By the way, if you'd like to learn more about FaithFi, you can check us out at faithfi.com. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.